When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame Almighty Encarto.
I like that.
Thank you.
I dig it a lot, man. You just really hammered that home right there when you did that.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of had a wow factor a little bit, too.
Yeah, you just hammered it home. Were struck by lightning with that one.
Thunderstruck, even, you might
yes,
say.
Yes, you were thunderstruck, man. So today on the show...
Ben struck, sorry.
No, that's Dynamite, never song. Different song. Anyways, so we're gonna go with, talking today, we're talking about, a mockbuster film. This is our, I think, second mockbuster film we've covered after Fast and the Fierce.
Yeah, right.
Which wasn't even about cars.
No, it wasn't.
But the poster made you think it was.
it was about an airplane, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was about airplane and like spy shit and all this other stuff.
The computer room had to be like a bunch of blinking green lights because they're always in the dark, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
That's the best way to do, you know, like data entry or any kind of computer stuff.
Yeah.
Is in a dark room.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen any documentaries about like Facebook or Google or anything about their headquarters. Just black rooms. Everywhere.
They're always, yeah. Yep. They're always in the dark. Yeah.
Yes. All they are. No.
Yep.
Both those places are pretty colorful and bright, so I don't know what the... today we're covering another film from the very infamous film company The Asylum. You know, the makers of the Sharknado films, which are not mockbusters, but they're like the only thing they've done that aren't. They've done some other things that aren't. Don't get me wrong. But they were the makers of The Fast and the Fierce. And, movies such as Snakes on a Train, The Day the Earth Stopped, Battlestar Wars, Transmorphers.
Morphers, yeah, I love that one. Transmorphers. Yeah. What about the Revengers? Was that them too?
Oh no, that wasn't the name of it. No, that was my joke name for a mockbuster. Oh, okay. That never happened. No, they did The Avengers Grimm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Which was like, instead of superheroes, they were like fairy tale characters.
Like,
and they had Sinister Squad was like a spinoff of those.
Oh my
god. Which was like their Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Wow.
And they always cast these great actors who come out of obscurity just to work with this great studio.
Well, yeah.
That's the only reason they do it, right? Such as...
I mean, yeah.
such as Richard Grieco, who played Loki in this film. People may know him from 21 Jump Street. He was recently in the movie 22 Jump Street. But he was also, reprising his role as Booker from his own self-titled TV series, Booker, which was a spinoff of 21 Jump Street back in the 80s and 90s. Huh. Yeah. I mean, he's in a lot of things, but, you know, those are the only notable things, really.
Times are lean, and he had to mm-hmm. be in Almighty Thor, you know?
Yeah, he's in a few of these, a couple of these at least, Asylum films. I mean, he did have a recurring role on Veronica Mars as well, but he was also in A.E., Apocalypse Earth, which was an Asylum film. So...
I would love to actually be in one of these Asylum films, because that way I could act a little bit.
Yeah.
But not have, like, the pressure of, like, you know, being an actor or trying to be an actor. Because I know that, like, it's not going to really launch me into, like, success. So it's just, like...
I mean, could. I mean, the thing is, it's, like, some of the people that have worked with the Asylum, okay, it's kind of like the Asylum is a little bit like a modern-day Roger Corman, who had his own production company back in the 70s and stuff, and started the careers of people like James Cameron and other like Joe Dante and other like famous directors, Ron Howard. All worked for Roger Corman, and this is kind of like the modern equivalent to that, where it's low budget, shoot it as fast as you can, you know, get it released sort of thing. And, you know, on a shoestring budget, Roger Corman was famous for, reusing sets. And I'm pretty sure the Asylum does that too, where they would have like a really cool location, or like they'd rent the location or have the sets built, and they'd be like, okay, what else can we shoot here now? And they would just write a script based on the locations that they had available. And I'm sure the Asylum does similar things. And it does get a lot of people on their way down, but I'm sure it's a good launching ground for some people who are trying to break into the business. And, you know, it's a way to learn how to do things on the cheap and make a movie and release it. I don't want to, like, dismiss everybody that's involved in this company with the output as much as the input is sometimes. It's like sometimes the journey is the destination, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the movie doesn't really matter as much as the experience that you have making it.
Yeah.
And I say that from somebody who's made movies for like $7,000, who, you know,
right.
The Asylum films honestly look better than. So
I mean, they had a $200,000 budget for this movie.
Yeah.
And that includes everything, both paying the actors, CGI, writing, set, everything. I mean, that's the whole...
Yeah.
Like, when people say, like, oh, this movie, I can't believe they paid, you know, $500 million to make this movie. It's like, yeah, but they're paying the actors, they're paying... I mean, it's
and,
like...
And you're paying for time, like, too, a lot of
yeah,
times.
It's like, there's so many things that go involved. It's not like it's just like... All this movie, all the money goes to like an actor, and then that's the whole thing. Like, no, there's CGI, there's marketing, there's like a whole, you know, writing, the screenplay, there's reshoots.
And something like Thor, because we're covering Almighty Thor today, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that. which came out around the same time as the original Thor, which, you know, the original Thor and all the other Marvel movies, you know, billions of dollars are spent on these things, you know, not really, but, you know, millions at least. And they will take, you know, like one page of filming could take a week to film for a Marvel movie. Whereas this movie was shot in 2 weeks.
Yeah. The whole movie.
Yeah. So, you know, you only get like one or two takes on a shot, you know. So And that's what things are. I mean, there are really big expensive movies that are like that too, because like Clint Eastwood as a director is famous for being a one take guy.
Yeah.
Like he'll and he cares more about the story than he does necessarily about what's on the screen sometimes too, because if you're familiar with the famous scene from American Sniper where Bradley Cooper is holding a baby doll that's supposed to be his kid because they couldn't get the kid to calm down on set, so they just put a baby doll in his hands and they didn't even try to make it look like a real kid.
Wow.
And this was a movie that was released nationwide into every movie theater in the country. So it's like,
wow.
Yeah. But anyways, back to the topic at hand. What were your thoughts here on Almighty Thor?
I think it's the best movie of all time, quite possibly.
Okay. So today's going to be the last episode of All Too Real 2. Because I think Matt has lost it, and I may have to go have him committed.
Can you have a friend committed?
I don't know. We're going to find out. Maybe we'll put you in the asylum.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't think I have you as, like, power of attorney or something like that, so I don't know how that would work, but...
I'm very persuasive. I'll work it out.
Okay. Yeah, you know, because I might need to be in the asylum, like you just said. Get it? Because these, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, this movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it premiered in 2011, May 7th, right around the time as Marvel Studios' Thor. So everybody's grandma went to Family Video and rented it by mistake, you know?
They're like, I got the movie for you. They're like, wait, that just came out in the theaters. No, they already got it out on DVD. And you're like, what? Oh, cool. Maybe it was like, you know, pirated or whatever. And it's like, no, that wasn't it. And instead, it kind of reminds me when I was a kid where my parents bought me Angels in the Outfield, but it was the original one from like the 1950s.
Oh, yeah.
And I even saw the case. I'm like, I don't think this is the same movie. They're like, yeah, it says Angels in the Outfield. I'm like, I know. Look at the case, though. Like, it doesn't have any of the actors from, you know, the movie. They're like, oh, maybe they just made that for, like, artistic reasons. I'm like, no, that's, I don't think that's a thing. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's like, what was it? Was it the Black Stallion or the Black... what was it? There was, like, one of those horse movies with black in the title, Black Beauty, yeah. Black Stallion, one of those. There were several different versions of it. And my ex-girlfriend asked me for one of them for Christmas one year, and I bought her the wrong one.
Oh.
It was the same year that I got her almost the right things and everything. I got her a jewelry box, but it wasn't the right jewelry box. I got her earrings, but she was allergic to the earrings. And, wow. And I got her the wrong DVD, among other things. I don't remember. But anyway, so I was always like, yeah, I'm really great at almost getting the right gift.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, definitely, you know, you get the wrong Angels in the Outfield or the wrong Black Beauty or whatever. At least they're still, you know, Hollywood-made movies, even if one's in black and white from the 1940s or whatever the Angels in the Outfield is.
And that one was like way darker too.
Yeah.
the plot and everything.
You know? Yeah.
I was like, oh man.
It wasn't Disney, so.
Yeah, but this movie, man, we.
Yeah.
We start talking about it because it's.
Yeah, we've got the movie, just to let you know, it was directed by Christopher Olin Ray. Whoever that is, starred Cody Deal as Thor, Richard Grieco as Loki, Patricia Velasquez as, how do you say her name?
I don't remember.
They
should have just called her Lady Sif. I don't know why they didn't.
I don't know. I guess, I mean, that's still a character that's in public domain too, so Yeah. So the way they're able to do this is because you can't copyright Norse gods. So
yeah, because they're mythological creatures, not creatures, but they're
mythological characters. Yeah, not so, you know. As long as you're not copying something that Marvel created specifically for their comic books, you're
A-okay. Yeah, like you have their backstory or whatever, you know. Yeah, but yeah.
And we also had Kevin Nash, the wrestler, as Odin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, good old Kevin Nash from Detroit, Michigan. Who went by Diesel.
Yeah, that was
his big name. He had a lot of other ones too, but yeah.
Diesel, get it? Because Detroit, you know, yeah. It's like cars and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, though, this movie.
Yeah.
I can't wait to start actually getting into it.
Okay, so what we got going down here in this movie here, Sesame?
So we get like the intro, you know, like stock music, you know, of like orchestra and drums and stuff, and then a bunch of lava and shit. And then we got this guy wearing like a cloak, and he's like doing some kind of like magic spell or incantation or whatever. He's got this like little orb thing that's like attached to like a bone, and then he's like starts speaking in English, like "open for me." Open sesame, he didn't say that, but but he's like open, and then like he finally does it, and then he's able to like, you know, crack a hole into like our world, because I guess he was living like in the underworld. I guess maybe he was in hell, H-E-L, as you know, the Norse. They didn't really say. This it turns out it's Loki.
Well, they call hell something different in Norse mythology. H-E-L is actually, I think, a Marvel creation.
Oh, it's okay, yeah. Gotcha. So it's Loki, but this version of Loki isn't Thor's brother. He's like a demon, I guess, or something. I don't know. They didn't really say necessarily, or they kind of did, but then they kind of went back on it. So this is interesting, because this is 2011, right?
Yeah.
And then, but his plan, though, in this movie is to start Ragnarok, which then that's the third Thor movie is about Ragnarok. So it's interesting that two movies before, he's actually trying to create.
Well, the Asylum is always on the cutting edge.
Yeah, well, of course.
You know? Of tackling something from Norse mythology.
Yeah, I mean, they're 6 years early, you know. So,
uncovering something that's centuries old.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So so he gets this dumb orb thing to work, and it just looks so stupid in his hand, because that's like the only thing he uses as a weapon. And like there's like these guards already like standing ready, which they never really explained why they knew that Loki was planning on doing this. They just knew, I guess, but there was no okay, but whatever. So he comes out and he like summons like these weird like demon dogs, which is like the best CGI of all time, really. And then and then they're like, "It's Loki, attack," or whatever, and they shoot like 1,000 arrows at him, and then he just like wipes them away with like his orb, and then he just like aims the orb in like the general, you know, vicinity of these people, and like fire just shoots out of it, or explosions. I mean, it just looks so stupid. Like it's like he's like holding it in like this really weird, like awkward way, and it's just like shooting out these little like explosions things. And then so he ends up killing all of them and sticks the dogs on some of them. Then Odin with Thor and his Thor's brother, I forgot what his name is, and then
for it. Yeah, his brother's name is Baldir.
Oh yeah, Baldir. And then I watched it for a second time, not the movie, just this particular scene. So Odin is carrying like a trident, like a weapon, you know, weapon. But then I noticed the second time that the thing is bending. Like they couldn't even just like have like a real wooden thing. Like it's like the thing is like made of plastic or something. It was like bending. So
all the weapons are made of plastic in this movie, it looks like. I mean, that bone that Loki has with the orb on the end of it really looks like one of those like bones that you get off of one of those plastic skeletons you can buy around Halloween.
Yeah, or a Skeletor thing, even like a Skeletor toy. Like, yeah, no, it did. It looks so stupid fake. And then they keep like using the same shot over and over too, where he's like bombing like the fortress, and they keep going back to that same shot of like that being on fire.
Yeah.
And then the acting though is so
of Asgard.
Yeah, the acting is so superb.
And the castle in Asgard looks more like Harry Potter than it does anything. Yeah. Like, what's the castle in Harry Potter? I just blanked on it.
Hogwarts.
Hogwarts. Yeah, that's right. It looks more like Hogwarts. But it looks like a drawing of Hogwarts. It doesn't even look realistic at all. It's just so.
Yeah, and then so Odin and sons, they're going off to meet like these weavers of fate, I guess. So they're doing the whole like Greek thing of like the fates, you know, whatever. Even though it's Norse, but
I think they're in both mythologies. So
okay, yeah, well, so, yeah, they're going to see them, but then there's this. I was watching a review, or I was trying to watch a review rather, and the review of it was just so dumb because the guy was like trying to be funny and it just wasn't landing. But then he misunderstood what Odin said, and then was like making fun of what he misunderstood he said, so it just made him.
Oh, jeez.
Because what Odin says, he goes, this portends to be like an evil day. He thought that Odin said this pretends to be an evil day. And he's like, why would a day pretend to be evil? It's like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
He didn't say pretend. He said portend. Fucking moron. Anyway, so it's like you're trying to be sarcastic, but then now you're sarcastic against yourself because of what you said. Anyway, so that's going on, and then Loki shows up, best acting of all time. They got the guards up in Asgard. They're like, Loki, you will not come up here and talk to Odin. Like, you know, like they have to enunciate every single word they say in the script for some reason. It's like, why do people do that?
And the audio was really bad too on the people who were up on the castle.
Oh yeah,
like it was. I know they were trying to make them sound like they were kind of far away, but they sounded like they were inside of a bucket far away.
So he kills them, you know, with like fire or the orb, and then some of the dogs start eating some of the guys, whatever. So then Odin tells, you know, his sons to wait outside while he goes into the cave and like listens to like the, you know, the fate weavers, and they're basically saying like Ragnarok is here, you can't do anything to stop
the fate weavers. Blah, blah, blah. Are my favorite band to listen to.
What's that?
The fate weavers are my favorite band to listen to. I really liked their third album. It was really good.
Their third album. Yeah. And then of course Thor. So basically this is, if you want to get down to like the brass tacks of things, this movie is about Thor getting everyone he loves killed because he's stupid and impulsive and he'll never follow instructions. So,
yeah,
just letting you know off the bat, he gets three people that he loves killed in this entire movie. The only three people that he loves killed, all because he would not follow instructions a single time. You would think after the first time, you know, when he gets both his brother and his dad killed all at one fell swoop, you know, you think that would be like, oh shit, like I can't come back from that. Like I got them
killed. It'd be his come to Jesus moment where he realizes, hey, maybe I should be a better person. Maybe I should be a good leader. And no.
But that's what happens when you look like Owen Wilson. You think you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, our star Cody Deal looks like a buff Owen Wilson.
Yeah,
without the broken nose.
Without the broken nose. Speaking of buff, the armor these people wear, so it's like it looks like they got it from a toy store. Like,
yeah, like, it's more like plastic somehow than the weapons.
Yeah, Odin, like what he's wearing, especially what Thor's wearing. No offense, it's just hilarious. So Odin, you know, he tells them like stay there, and then you know don't. He doesn't want Thor to fight. He says he needs Thor to be like to finish the fight essentially. But then Thor, like an asshole, decides that he's like, well, I'm not gonna sit back and let them die. Well, but then he actually makes them die. So technically, him doing that is what caused them to die in the first place. Whatever. But the hammer though, oh my god. The hammer of invincibility is what they call it. This thing is just like a regular fucking rock, like tied to like some wood, basically, and that's supposed to be Thor's hammer.
And it's obviously not even a rock. It's like a plastic rock.
It's a plastic. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh my god, like like this looks like some like Bronze Age, not even bronze, like almost like caveman type of weapon, like because it's literally like tied it, to the stick or whatever.
I've seen like I did a lot of like, you know, behind the scenes and on stage theater stuff as I was in high school and afterwards and stuff, and I used to do lighting for this like children's theater group that would perform like you know, Little Red Riding Hood and Snow White and shit like that, you know, little plays that were like a half hour long that they would that their parents would come and see. Anyways, the props we had in those plays were like 1,000 times better than any in this movie. And this was like 30 years ago. And
and also too, there's this fight scene between Loki and Odin that they insist on doing this weird slow motion crap. I have no idea why they thought that would be a cool thing to do. Cause it just looks so bad. Like,
and your fight with, you know, you have Kevin Nash, Diesel from the WWF.
Yep.
Doing one of the worst fight scenes I've ever seen in a movie. It's like, did you forget how to fight after you stopped wrestling?
Or maybe they made him do that because they wanted him to lose the fight.
And there is this thing with these movies and a lot of low budget movies where they slow down the fights because they somehow think it makes it look better, but in almost every case it makes it look worse.
Well, like, it wasn't even like real slow mo. It was like this weird, like choppy version of slow mo. Like,
yeah, and on top of that, it's like I think the people were actually just doing things slowly, and then they even slowed them down more,
probably to make it so it didn't look so stupid. So even though it made it look even worse. Anyway, so Loki kills Odin, I guess, and then Odin throws the hammer into some like portal to the world tree, because like in Norse mythology the world tree is like where everything comes from,
the
like
tree of life,
or the tree of life, sorry.
Yeah.
The world tree is something different, but so then Owen Wilson Thor wakes up from the fight because he got knocked out and realizes that he got his brother and dad killed, and he's like, no. And then we get our Lady Sif type character, who I'll let you talk in a second, but like,
yeah,
I have a thing about this movie. Okay, so the rest of this movie, which is probably about an hour and 15 minutes longer at this point of what's going on, I swear to God, almost the entire rest of this movie is them having the same conversation over and over and over about him needing the train, and then him saying, I don't want a train, I want to kill Loki now, and then he agrees, oh, I guess you're right, I will train, but then he sneaks off and gets himself into trouble, and then she comes and saves his ass and has the same conversation, and then he's like, I swear I'll be good this time, and then he goes off on his own. It's like, okay, we get it, but at what point do you stop doing that? That's like, we get it, like, you don't need to do it seven times, like, we understand that's his personality, like, we don't need the whole movie to be like essentially babysitting him, like, you know.
My feeling on this is that the writer of this movie had just watched Star Wars: A New Hope, and really liked the part where Luke was like, "But Uncle Owen, blah blah blah, we can't do that." And he just wrote that again and again for like the rest of this fucking movie.
Because that was literally the whole plot ever, so you go on from there. But I just wanted to just mention that fact that like, we run into the same exact conversation like 18 times.
Yeah, and then like, on top of that, it's like we have little development each time, not much, but it's the same thing. And then eventually, like, this is all like seemingly taking place in like a day or so.
Oh yeah, it's like all one day. Yeah,
yeah, and somehow Jarn Saxa, whatever her name is, Patricia Velasquez's character, at one point is like, I love you, Thor. It's like,
what?
Yeah, I know people who have dated for a lot longer than you guys actually knew each other and never said I love you.
Well, you had to have the hetero, you know, romance going on, mm-hmm. you know. And of course, too, you know, trauma bonding, you know, so...
we have the situation where they find they're in the woods, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but they end up creating this portal to Los Angeles.
Yeah,
to 2011 Los Angeles, where it's not really Los Angeles; it's bluer Los Angeles.
Yeah,
it's like going, looking at Los Angeles, but you're wearing like a pair of sunglasses that are tinted blue.
It looked more like Seattle than you know.
Yeah. LA. But it was LA. You saw palm trees and shit. Yeah. And I think they say it at one point or something. I don't know. But anyways, like somehow they're in Los Angeles through a portal of some sort. There's, like, all these fights in, you know, slow motion. But, okay, anyways. What, how did they get the hammer? They got,
Well, they didn't. I mean, it did for a minute.
Yeah, they went to the Tree of Life.
The portal into LA was supposed to help them get to there from there, I guess. Like, so they had to go to Midgard, which is what they call Earth.
Yeah.
And then through Midgard get to... But what happened was Loki somehow had, like, broken some of the, like, sacred runes or whatever. So, like, they weren't, like, completely protected. Like, from the... Like he was yelling out to them and they could, like, hear his voice from, like, wherever magic portal zone that they were in. So he was, like, just outside of, like, where they were.
Yeah, because I know that there was a scene, though, I can't remember if it was before or after they go to Midgard, where he got the hammer from the Tree of Life, because he had to fight the knight there at the Tree of Life.
That's right, there was a knight, which, was he working for Loki? Like, what was
No, he just guards the Tree of Life, and part of the journey that Jay, that's what I'll call her, that Jay was explaining to Thor. she was like, hey, you gotta fight this knight to get the hammer.
But why? Because he's supposed to have the hammer, so he just killed an innocent knight for no reason.
But the knight came back to life, and he was back to life later, so.
Well, okay, fine. But like, and then, yeah, so it's right. He kills the knight or wounds him, whatever, takes the dumbass looking hammer toy.
Yeah, after he goes through, like, and he goes into the tree, he goes into, like, this jungle. That's the part I was like, what the hell?
I don't even remember that part. I probably just zoned out.
And somehow inside the tree, which made no sense.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
But, like, he walks inside the tree, and all of a sudden he's, like, in a jungle in Vietnam or something, almost. But anyways, he fights the knight and everything, and there's, like, this heart inside the tree that is, like, really crazy looking. Hold on a second. Anyways, yeah, there's this crazy heart thing in there that is, like, the heart of the Tree of Life or whatever. But anyways, they somehow then end up in Midgard. This movie was confusing. But,
yeah.
So, she has, like, this little hideout in this Los Angeles area. She shows him how to use a gun at one point. I might be, like, way... Like, some of this might just be, like, way out of order the script, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
No, I think it's
about there. But yeah, she shows him how to use a gun, which was like okay. It's just hilarious to me that, you know, this guy's got this hammer of invincibility, but he needs a gun.
And then she shows him a machine gun. He's like, I like these people. I'm like, oh my god. Like Thor.
Yeah.
With the machine gun.
It's very pro-gun movie.
Well, it just makes no sense. I mean, it's like, you know, these are like magical people. and then they need guns instead of like their magical weapons, whatever. And then, so yeah, she's like point and pretend that this is your spear or whatever. And then somehow she knows about all this. I guess she spent some time in Earth, I guess. I don't know. And then, yeah.
Well, she has a hideout there, so she knows all this stuff. I guess she's.
So maybe that's part of her training.
Go ahead.
Then gives him the machine gun, and then he's like, oh, I really liked it. Where'd they even find this stuff?
I mean, I think she's been there for a while just collecting shit and being ready for all this. We end up later, like, in an alley somewhere. And they're trying to get back to, I don't know when this is or what this has to do with anything, but I wrote down some dialogue that I wanted to share from the movie that I thought was just brilliant writing.
Yeah.
She says to Thor, because they're trying to get a portal back to, I think, Asgard or something. She says, can you feel anything? And he's like, a wall. And then she's looking at him, and she's like, Thor, I need you. And he's like, I'm right here. I laughed out loud during that scene. So,
I wonder if that was like an improv line or something.
I know, but it was like all like, the whole thing was like, they're trying to be funny or something. I don't know what the hell they were doing, but it was really bad writing. Yeah, I couldn't tell ever trying to be funny or if they were on purpose, you know, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Loki's walking around on Earth as well, looking like, you know, like from the neck up, he looks like somebody working at Hot Topic, and down below, he looks like, you know, a rejected member of GWAR. And nobody's batting an eye for a while there when he's just walking around. I'm just like, okay.
They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Cool looking dude here with his orb or whatever. And then they get into a gunfight where they literally start shooting machine guns at each other, which is, that was bizarre to see.
It was actually just one machine gun because Thor had the machine gun and then Loki was able to take it from him.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Thor was a horrible shot. He couldn't even get anywhere near him. And then
I know
Loki, who's never used a machine gun before, takes it and he gets him right away.
Well, because he's used to holding that awkward orb all the time, so it's helped them, like, you know, things. So, you know, the machine gun's like, you know, a toy in comparison to the toy orb that he got from like Skeletor's, you know, inventory or whatever. Or the Masters of the Universe toy inventory, which, and then at one point what happens, they get into a fight and then he supposedly kills Loki, but then Loki's like, oh, you can use the orb to bring back your brother and Odin or something like that. So then Loki, burns and, like, goes back to hell or
in
whatever.
In one of these numerous bad fights, he also cuts off his hand. And,
Which and grows back.
But the blood spurts out and it's obvious, like, CG blood that doesn't even look like it's human blood coming out of him at all.
Yeah.
So there's another part, too, where, there's extras in the background, and there's this one part with a lady with a baby stroller I noticed, who looks right at she looks right at the camera.
It, like, she, like, goes and, like, just, like, positions herself, like, in, like, the corner or something like that.
She's in, like, this doorway of this old building, and she just stands there, like.
I didn't get, as she was, like, trying to figure out, like, what was going on, or, like, or.
Yeah, like, was she just, like, somebody that wandered onto set, or was she a paid extra is what I'm trying to figure out.
I have no idea, yeah. And so, like, Loki shoots him in the arm and injures him. And so he's got to go back in for, you know, to get bandaged up. But then, you know, she's like, okay, this is why you have to, like, follow my instructions, Thor. And he's like, I know. And she tells him, you know, to get rid of that orb because that thing, like, corrupts you or whatever. He's like, okay. And then she leaves, and he starts looking at the orb and starts telling commandments to it, like, to open up and to save.
Yeah.
Oh, save my brother. And of course, Loki comes back out of it because he didn't really die. Because he can't die. Because he's not really alive. And that was actually per Loki's own words, so okay, I don't really understand what that means. All right, and then, so he's neither dead nor alive. But yet, at the same time, he wants to rule Asgard as a non-alive, non-dead being.
Yeah. Like
why? Why would you want... Okay, why would you even care about something like that? Like, okay, whatever. So then... I don't remember. They get into a fight again, I think, and then...
Yeah, there's one point where Loki and her are, like, kind of arguing, but then she says, "You have my heart." And then she's turning around looking, bridge out to the city and stuff like that, and then she turns around and he's gone. It's like, yeah, you have my heart, but, well, okay, and he says the same, and then it's like, bye-bye.
I don't know what they were thinking. And then, like, so then Loki plays another trick on him where it makes it look like I forgot her name. She's, like, bleeding out because he caught her. He's like, "What am I going to do with you?" And then so, like, he's, like, hugging her. But then it turns out that it was really just Loki pretending to be her.
Yeah.
Instead, he's got her, like, up against the wall somewhere. And then he puts Thor up there. And then he opens up.
And the CGI of them hanging on the wall was the worst I've ever seen.
I know.
It looked like they show them up on the building, and in the distance it looks like you know when there's like cartoon characters that have been run over by a steamroller.
Yeah.
Like after they're kind of like just hanging out after that, where they kind of look almost like cardboard cutouts or something. That's what it kind of looked like to me. It was like so weird.
Yeah. A
little bit of movement, and that was it. Yeah.
And then they're like talking like, "I'm sorry I didn't listen to you for the 45th time." Like, "It's okay, Thor." And Loki opens up the ground to like the lava world, and then he drops her first, then he drops Thor, and then Thor is like in like the lava world, and then she's like, "I'm gone, but you can still do this," or whatever. I don't know. And then that's where he gets his real hammer.
Yeah, he forms his own hammer out of lava.
Which that hammer actually looked kind of like the real hammer that, you know, we have through the movies, not this rock
thing,
like this tied to a piece of tree wood or something like that, like a branch. And then, I mean, it looked like a slingshot basically. And then he comes back and Loki's like, "What? Like, no, it's impossible, blah, blah, blah." You know, so they get into a huge fight. Thor wins, I guess. I don't know. And then...
Yeah, he brings up his little, like, worms and dogs and stuff to fight and everything. And you've got all these extras running around who are all the same, like, four or five people. And,
yeah, that's right. And then, like, they all crowd around Thor once they win the battle. And he's like, "He's our savior. He's our god," you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, he goes... But then, like, the movie... Because I was watching it for free on YouTube. And then it seemed like the sound cut off and they went back to the lava world. I don't know if that was like some post credit scene.
I don't think so. I watched it somewhere else. I found it on Peacock.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So after that, they have a scene where, he goes back to, the loom ladies, the Norn as they're called.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and he ends up destroying the loom because he's like, "We create our own fate and destiny and all that stuff and everything."
And they're like, "No."
Yeah.
Another great CGI moment where it was all like slow motion and stuff, and they're like, you know, like staring daggers at him, like, "How dare you?" And it's like, "Wait a minute. Didn't you notice what's gonna happen since you're the weavers of fate?"
Yeah.
So could you know that he was gonna do that? So
And then know, on top of that, like, we never get any of his three people that he basically had killed. None of them come back to life at all or anything.
No, so they're all dead because of him. So, you know.
Yeah.
Forever. So, good job there.
Yes.
You killed the love of your life that you've known for, like, 12 hours. And then you got your brother and your dad killed in the same day as well. All because you refused to follow basic instructions.
Yes.
So
you're acting like a child who wasn't given a Snickers bar at the Kroger checkout lane when you asked your mom for it throughout the whole movie. That's basically it. So
that it was, you know, he couldn't get his hammer or whatever,
yeah.
or How did he kill Loki again? I forgot.
I honestly forgot too.
I forgot too. Like maybe with just with the hammer, or
yeah, probably.
And then saw him like put him back into like the lava world or whatever, yeah,
the like hell or whatever it was. Yeah.
Oh. Which even makes worse because not only did he get the three people he loves killed, but now they're stuck in like a lava hell world that he can't get them out of. So, but he's all like, "Yeah, I'm fine now. So, yay, Asgard's back.
Good times.
My dad and brother and girlfriend." Quasi girlfriend are like burning in hell now, but woo.
Yeah. Cool. Everybody I care about's dead, but I'm still alive, so that's somehow good. Yeah.
Well, that's all I've learned from Owen Wilson Thor is that he's just like a selfish prick.
Yep.
Yep.
Do you want to take a quick break here and we'll come back with some reviews?
Sure.
Okay. Bye. We'll be right back, folks.
Hey, I'm Jay Remy, host of No Outlet Live. If you're in a podcast that explores any and everything, check us out. We stream anywhere you listen or watch podcasts, or just type No Outlet Live, one word, in your Google search bar to find the show. Live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. No Outlet Live, your road to boredom ends here. Do you like Tessa? Do you think this will be a date that can last?
Well, she's not very articulate.
And we are back. All right. Want to hear some reviews from this lovely film?
Sure.
Okay, here's one written on May 8th of 2011, or about the time it came out, from Michael Paul Morley. And the headline is, this is for a 1 out of 10 star. Is this the worst film I have ever seen? The simple answer is quite possibly yes. The joke is, though, that this film is so bad that you can't even laugh at it. I disagree there. I found myself cringing at the appalling dialogue. The CGI was very poorly done, and the camera work in general was very dodgy, to say the least. Lots of shaking. The acting, if you can call it that, was appalling. Whether or not this is due to the poor directing, or that they are actually that bad, which I fail to believe, is unforgivable. And some might even say criminal. As someone who has done some acting, if I was in this steaming heap, I would want my name removed from the credits. This is definitely one to avoid if you value your time. It is an hour and 30 minutes I will never get back.
Aww.
Poor guy. Yeah, there's not one good review. So
wow,
that I can find. So
that's, I mean,
here's another one. 1 out of 10. Replace Almighty with God Awful. This is from 1980. This is written in July of 2018. I'll be honest, I can see why this film was the IMDb rating and user review hatred that it does. Oh, this film has, not was, sorry. has the IMDb rating and user review hatred that it does. This is a stinker. If Marvel's Thor was the pinnacle of what is right, this version of Thor is somebody doing cosplay using only items found in a small charity shop as the props and costume. The casting is horrible. Come on, Kevin Nash. I love you as a wrestler, but you couldn't act in the ring and you shouldn't be acting in a film. Richard Grieco is Loki, which was upsetting. His was probably one of the better performances. I totally disagree. I think he was the worst performance in the whole fucking movie. But anyways, however, I've still seen human statues more animated. Cody deal. What was the deal? Thor, come on, really? You come across like a brainless half-wit. Don't even get me started on Patricia Velasquez. What was that about? Loki attacks Asgard because he's jealous that Thor could soon be ruler. Loki kills Odin and others. Odin sends Thor's hammer to Earth. Thor goes in search with what's-her-face to find it before Loki can. With what feels like no plot, no acting skills, no structure to the film, and no, well, just say no hope. This really has to be the worst film I have seen this year, and I pride myself on watching terrible films. I regret watching this. Yeah.
Wow.
This other one, I'm not going to read the review, but I like the headline for some reason. Napoleon Dynamite with a six-pack.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. The highest rating I've seen on here is 3 stars. So, any final thoughts here before we wrap things up about this glorious, almighty film?
No, not really. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't think this is the worst movie I've ever seen.
No, it's not.
But
it's up there.
It's up there. It's pretty bad. Anyways, off of something that's bad, here's something good, folks. You can check out all2real2.com and follow us everywhere. Yeah. You know, that's something you can do that will help erase the badness that is Almighty Thor in your mouth. The taste of it. Almighty Thor in your mouth. Wait, what?
The taste of Almighty Thor in your mouth. Yeah. The taste of the plastic, props.
And yes. The plastic props and actors. I mean, I think that Richard Grieco's face looked more plastic than the bone that he was holding, but I don't know. Anyways, so I don't know. I don't want to be more mean, but yeah, check out all of our stuff. You can go to all2real2.com, as I was saying. Check out our TeePublic, our Patreon, other ways that you can help us out. Just share the show. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast or anywhere else you can review the show. That really helps us get out there. Be good to each other. That helps everybody. And until next time, folks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.